Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, we just had a little bit of difficulty, but we are back and we are live. We're going to go ahead and join Lizzo in Soulmate, and I will be right back with you.
True story.
No glory. Let's go.
Yeah, the old me used to love a Gemini. Like a... every night. A lot of two-faced people show me both sides, so I figured out I gotta be my own type. They used to say to get men, you had to know how to look. They used to say to keep a man, you had to know how to look. But I'm so unsupposed that they told you it's not a look. I'm myself, kinda out of touch.
I'm on soulmate, I know how to love me, I know that I'm a
marry me one day. True love ain't something you can buy yourself. True love finally happens when you buy yourself. So if you buy yourself, then go and buy yourself another round from the bottle on the higher self.
Right,
the gremlin.
Monica, you were so talking about and explaining. Yes, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Misunderstanding and all that other good stuff. The song just got me all the way into a whole nother area now, child.
I know it did. But you were talking about being a big woman, a large woman. And, you know, guys, there's just so many. Thank you, Chicago, for coming back in. I see Fort Lauderdale.
Absolutely.
I see Jacksonville just made it back in. Texas, you just made it back in. Thank you. So Monica was just speaking about it. She just shared something I think is profound. Being a big woman. And this is something that started from, in terms of inferiority complexes. We have in my family, even being of Hispanic descent, and Monica, your fiance is a dark Hispanic man. And so when we talk about complexion, colorism, being on the larger side, there's so many misconceptions about that. That's been a lie. It was a lie from the day one, because God wants us to move with every confidence. He made us all individually, just as we are, for a reason. We were not meant to look like and or be like anybody else but our own individual beautiful selves. So when you were speaking about being misunderstood and a misconception, I just wanted to share that because there's a whole lot of things that go along with misunderstanding that large black woman, that overly dark woman. Or that overly light-skinned dark woman, or that black man, that dark-skinned man. You know, you should just hear all kinds of things like that and then being misunderstood. But on a deeper level of being misunderstood is have someone judge you without even knowing you. Or even underestimating who you are. I think that's what I was kind of leaning towards and what you were getting at and being at work, but I don't want to interrupt your thought because when you said being that large woman, that said something to me. That said something to me. Being in the workplace, did that affect your self-esteem somewhere? Do you think that it played a role in your esteem, in your self-esteem?
Well, here's the thing, because I had a certain level of confidence. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think I was so...
You said you had a certain level of confidence or a certain level of ego. Which one?
Confidence and ego.
Confidence. Okay.
I would say both. There's a nice little equal amount of both. So coming into the job, I was confident, and nobody liked it. That wasn't my ego in the beginning. I was very humble coming in, and I kept, you know, there were certain terminologies that nobody else knew, not even the person who owned the particular company at that particular time. And they were like, look, you know, I was asking, I think at one point it was a call center now. So I think at one point I was asking, listen, are we doing, you know, cold calling? Are we doing, you know, or these warm leads, or what's going on with these leads? And, you know, the lady was like, look here, these are hot leads. I pay hot money for these leads, and that's that. So
wow.
I was like, oh.
Wow.
And I remember looking at the audience, you know, the group of my colleagues, and they were, like, looking at me at the side. They're like, who is she? Where did she come from? You know, and then they heard the accent. And then it was like, oh, okay, so she's a big girl, she got an accent. And then it was like, oh, well, where do you live? You live on the top side, the east side, the north side, the west side? Where do you live? And then it became, oh, well, I don't want to...
Did that change the way you responded to people? Did you find yourself adjusting yourself to please people?
I found myself always in a hot seat. I did find myself trying to run them up. If you remember, my hair started falling out when I was working that job. If you remember,
right.
I was consuming
from
working
the stress.
Because I was trying to compete. Everybody else was doing the bare minimum, and I was breaking my neck trying to get to and make people understand my worth and how I was willing to be. That, you know, I was willing to do the work, and I was willing to be loyal to the cause. And that I was loyal to the cause. I wanted to see the company thrive and run too. And there were people who were like, mm-mm, no.
Seeing when you were there with that company, I remember seeing you trying so desperately hard to say, you're misunderstanding me. You're underestimating me. And I'm going to overcompensate, even if it kills me, because it nearly killed you.
Right.
You were doing so much to prove to these people. And as a mother, as a parent, and I remember with grandma, my mother, and you know the relationship we had, we didn't really develop a relationship until I found support groups and I found recovery groups in Fort Lauderdale. I see some of our Fort Lauderdale here, people here. And you guys there in Chicago, you know, I know I told you guys about what happened for me in Fort Lauderdale. And it wasn't until then that I got this help that came by way of a 12-step program that allowed me to understand where my mother was coming from. And the reason why I bring that up, Monica, was because we watch mommy, grandmom, have such an inferiority complex because she just did not know how beautiful she was. She had spent a whole lot of time trying to prove to people, and we're talking about coming from the 1942s and the 1950s and especially the early 60s as a black woman and trying to prove herself. And she brought that into how she raised her children, and she was so many places was defeated, but she just had no clue how beautiful she was. And when we look at her now, and I thank God that we had an opportunity to express that to her and share that with her, and because of healing for us that she knew from us. But there are so many people right now who just do not know how beautiful they are and how valuable their life is and how trivial what someone else thinks really is. It really means nothing. And we cannot and we should not, we just absolutely should not allow ourselves and our lives, especially our purpose, be defined by anyone else. But I remember that, Monica. I remember what you were going through and how it hurt me as your mother. And that's why I alluded into all of that, because I felt like that I contribute to you feeling that way somewhere. And because you were going through a lot. Do you remember what thoughts were going through your head at those moments? What was it that you thought that you could change? What was it that you thought that you could change with any one of those coworkers, especially your boss at that time? What was it that you thought that you could accomplish?
I thought that they were going to begin to understand me if I achieved more. I thought that if I did the top, and, you know, I think the thing, even as a younger child, you know, in the beginning, remember, I was bullied around a lot. I was very timid. And then somewhere something clicked. And then there was the, you know, you stuck me in the charm school and all the cotillions. Thanks a lot, by the way. They were very.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember me giving the ladies who were the instructors all kinds of mess about it. Mm-hmm. So, the idea that as I got older, you were constantly pouring into me freedom, liberty, confidence. You know, there was validation. And then I had other women in our family also validating me. And I also got to look at, you know, it wasn't just grandma who was dark-skinned on Grandma Ruth, but also we had, on my father's side, we had my grandmother on my father's side. She was also a dark-skinned woman, but she was traumatized. And, you know, you could see her story. She was also what we call color-struck. You know, and, you know, I think that I was liked because I was a fair-skinned child at the time with a lot of hair, or what, you know, they considered good hair. It was wavy and long. It was a whole bunch of it. And so it was like, oh, yeah, she's, a fair-skinned child. You know, it just seemed like that was the thing. And you remember me going through school, elementary school, when the girl tried to jump me and she tried to cut my hair off, you know, and there was a big controversy about that. It was just a lot. And after a while, you either grow tough skin or you don't. And I remember you telling me you're either going to be tough and you're going to be confident in who you are and be yourself, be unapologetically yourself. Be unapologetically yourself. You're not going to be able to please anybody and people are not going to like you, you know. So be comfortable when you're weird and all that. And I remember that and I tried to stick to it. But there were moments where it hurt. There were moments where, you know.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I believe that there's still some hurt with that, because I just when you were speaking, I just started thinking about assignment. So you know, and I don't want to put anybody out there and ensure anyone's business, but, you know, our young, you know, our team, the ones that join us on Zoom from Chicago, you guys heard me talk about assignment, and I know a lot of you didn't know what I meant by that, but I'm going to just kind of touch on it again one more time. Assignments, and I want to say this very carefully first, assignments, when we're talking about principalities, they don't abort their mission. Whether it started when you were a child or whatever, and the way that I see it and the way that I'm understanding it is this. When God created us and we're about to enter into this dimension, into the earth realm, and you are about to be born, and the enemy says, this is how I'm going to divert and or abort that person's purpose. And they get assigned. The enemy has his team and his soldiers and generals and imps or whatever, and there's an assignment. And the assignment is to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. But see, not only does it not get it, it doesn't change. They don't abort the situation. They're going to stay on it. So just because that thing happened when you were a little girl or a young man doesn't mean that it's going to stop that when you become an adult. The assignment, the mission is still on, and the ultimate goal is to not just snatch your soul, but see, this is where grace comes in, and I was sharing this with you, corporate. This is where grace comes in. When God says so, and I heard this many times and many, many, many situations. When God says so, and if someone has made that covenant and has stepped in the gap for you, and as long as you have agreed that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're covered. So there's nothing that can abort you in your purpose or your assignment. But don't get it twisted. Just because you're older and you're more knowledgeable, don't let your guards down.
Right.
Don't let your guards down. That you understand what I'm saying? Because this warfare, this spiritual warfare, the supernatural warfare is still real. Now, we all know that we're all just visiting this place. This is not our home. We don't belong here. And you know, I say this all the time when I'm talking to my family members and all. You know, I celebrate my mother being in heaven and just doing what she's doing and knowing Jesus and being with Jesus. I'm just so happy. We have to understand that this assignment is to not only just keep us down and depressed, but to keep us from being absolutely, ridiculously happy in this crazy world that we are in. And some people may look at us, this is what makes us so peculiar, and say, oh, but there's a war going on. There's a situation in Shanghai going on. There's a situation in Haiti going on. There's all kinds of things going on all around us. There's a little 10-year-old girl who just got raped. But we get to tap into something exclusively, and I'm not diluting the Holy Spirit as being just something. But this is an absolutely unique thing that lets us grasp a memory, laughter, joy, happiness. We have that gift. That's a profound gift, and that's what can take us from one level to the next, and as you might hear people say, from one glory to the next, from one circuit of the earth to the other end. You know, I don't know all the Bible scriptures and things like that, but it really lets us know and understand, and as a matter of fact, I do, but I just have to look it up, but it really lets us know and understand what we have in our corner, what we have, because it's not just a tool, but it's really a weapon, too. It's a gift and a weapon that allows us to come from out of that place where things used to hold us bound and would hurt us. One is acknowledging it and then accepting it. And as you were speaking, Monica, because I could hear that, and then I was hearing assignment. And I think a lot of times when you and I are talking, and I'm reminded of what assignment was assigned to you, and we have to be aware of it. I had to come in touch with what my assignments were, and some of them was the way that I would react to people and see, and then I had to define my gifts and my call, because I love who I love, and I love tremendously, and I want to see those people happy. And God said, but I need you to do it honestly. I need you to do it from a pure place. I need you to do it from a place that's without any motives or any hidden agendas. I need you to do it where you're not manipulating somebody, because you might want something from them later. You know, or you need something from them later, or you need to be co-signed on some junk later, you know, or even back yourself up into a trap later. So we can't forget those assignments and what they are, whatever that may mean. I don't even know why I'm talking about this right now, but whatever that may mean for someone, don't forget to identify what that assignment may look like. With that, I was looking at the show one time, Monica. Remember, we were looking at the show, and it was different snakes. And I don't know, it was one of those Discovery shows or something like that. And there was different types of species of snakes and things like that. And this guy was just such a professional. He knew which type of snake which one was and all that other kind of good stuff. It's the same way. We have to be knowledgeable. If we're not knowledgeable about it, this is why leadership in dropping old ideas about what you may think about ministry, what you may think about church or a leader or a pastor. Be very, very selective, of course, and get with those people that your spirit can settle with, the people who are real. See, those people look like this. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to come and pretend that they're perfect. They're going to come with the history and the past that you could pinpoint, and they're not ashamed to talk about. They're not ashamed to talk about. They're not shy about it. Those people give back to the community freely. They look like that. And you'll be able to identify them. You'll see them, and you'll know them when you see them. And you have to get in a place of leadership and people who really do understand spiritual principles without religion, if I could say that well. If you have any questions or thoughts about that, you guys know that you can email me or talk to me about it in the Zoom meeting and speak openly about it, because that's so important. That's really, really important. And if you got something going on in your life that you know is not healthy, get the help to get rid of it. Get the support to get rid of it and to stop, because you really can't do it by yourself. It's not something that you have to do by yourself at all. I didn't stop lying by myself, did I, Monica?
Nope.
You know, I had to have help. Am I right? You know, Monica had to tell me one time, and she's my daughter. She said, "Hey, Mom, wait a minute, what you talking about? You can't do that." That ain't the truth. Get that right. And that's the truth. So, you know, guys, we really can't do this thing by ourselves. But I can hear that. And not to say that you're not going to reflect on something and feel some pain. Please own what you're feeling. Own what you're doing and get into position. You know, I was speaking with Monica one time, guys, and I probably shared this with you, and I was trying to tell her about herself, and she had to stop me and say, "Wait a minute, you got to understand what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying, but now you need to hear me. This is what it's like. I know what you're saying, Mom, but now let me tell you what I'm feeling, what I'm really going through. Because you're trying to put your spin on it, and that's not the reality of it. This is not the reality, sister." She pretty much almost said it like that. It's not as nice as the way I'm saying it to you guys right now. But she had to put it to me and give it to me really, really clear, so that I had a clear understanding of the woman that she is. That's really important. So, you know, guys, we were talking about prior, before we were interrupted, is not allowing someone to define you. But those who misunderstand you and misunderstand your intentions, don't back yourself up in a corner trying to prove anything to anyone. You know, that's not going to be healthy. That's never, ever healthy. Never, ever healthy. Say that again?
Mm-hmm. It turns into bondage.
How do you, when you say that, Monica, how does that, when you say turn into bondage, like give our people something that they, so that they can help to identify that?
Our first initial show, we talked about bondage. We talked about doing things, self-induced bondage, spiritual bondage. And that bondage, for me, it became, it became the job. Me doing the job and thinking that this is what I was supposed to do, it became a condition after a while. And everything I did for the job. I even forgot my own household, children, everything. My mother was really concerned. She was like, hold up. She was just like, wait a minute, it's time for me to step up in here because something ain't right. And I literally, I did the job and I kept going at it to the point where I ended up collapsing on the job.
She did.
Actually,
guys, I was on the job.
The first time,
if you've ever had a
back,
mother go to your job and fuck with your boss,
right. Mm-hmm. And I even went back after the first collapse, and then the second collapse, it was like, okay, wait a minute. Uh-huh. I was getting out of the car, coming home, and I collapsed out there on the concrete, passed out. Overworked.
And it was almost addictive because it was like you could not stay away from that job.
I could not stay away from that job.
You
and it was
could
like,
not
oh, God,
stay.
I need to do this.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to do this.
I remember they sent you out to see a client, and you had to drive to, like, it was like four or five towns over to see these people. And bringing the diabetic equipment and their medical equipment out there. And I thought, are you kidding me? And they didn't supply gas or anything. I remember that. And I thought, this has gone too far. But, yeah, you're right, because it was like, it was almost not just, because bondage, I think, kind of turns, looks like addiction, too. And it was... you just what you weren't ready to leave that job. You did not want to leave. I had to. I prayed, and but you did not leave that job until you good and ready to let it go.
Yeah. And that was directly at the health issues and being on bed rest. It kind of just fell right into itself, you know, because sometimes. Even in you know, in that situation, it just felt like God had to do for me what I couldn't do for myself because I was just, I was like, die hard. I'm going in. I'm going in because I had certain regards, and I felt, and this is what bondage does. It makes you feel like you're supposed to do these things. They had gas.
Yeah, like I'm not being like responsible
that.
If I don't show up. If I'm not as
right.
committed,
absolutely.
I'm
taking
no
the
good.
Money. I'm getting paid. Mm-hmm. And putting it into the car, putting it into, you know, the gas. You ain't got to worry about borrowing no money from me. You ain't got to worry about giving me no gas money back. I'm just because I'm going to ride anyway. Yeah, okay, I got it, you know. And it was like, what? That don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And I remember the day that, right, remember the day there was another supervisor that came in, and she was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Something right. You do way too much, and nobody else does this. You're here. I was there in the trenches. I was there when they shut down. And she, you know, the boss kept me around. You know, it was like, okay, it was just a four people show. It's just four people, two owners of the company. And, you know, I think it was a nephew and somebody else. And, but I was hitting the call center, hitting the appointments, trying to help do the processing with the, you know, I was like, oh my goodness, this is the only thing I didn't handle was the billing. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm on the villain portion, but it was.
What steps do you take now to not end up in bondage? What do you do now to stay out of that place?
You know, one, I regard myself in such a way where I'm not allowing myself to be consumed with anybody's job because, you know, one, I have my own. And I put myself in the mind frame of my children come first. When I'm going to work, it's work. And I try to keep my focus there. This is work, and that's it. And let me get up. Mm-hmm. Let me get away from here. Now, I still am not overzealous, but I am very loyal to the cause of depending on the job that I'm doing. I am a stickler for justice and what's right is right, following policy. And if something is off and you're not trying to follow the policy and this is what's set in place, I'm pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
I will argue down, sit on hold, whatever it is I got to do to get to the, so, you know, so that the person, you know, can get the right care or, you know, get the right, you know, get the right justice served or the right due diligence when it comes to, you know, taking care of their business. So, you know, those are just some of the things, but I don't overexert myself in those areas anymore. I do not give the job more than I can give myself or take from my children. If I have a set amount of hours that's supposed to be those hours for that particular job on that day, that's what they get. Nothing else. I'm not putting no gas money in anywhere. I'm not overexerting myself in that way. Now, my own business is different, but, and that's the thing, because if I was able to go and do that type of work for other people in their business, why not for my own? And that's another thing that happens, because sometimes we're so often programmed to do this work for everybody else, but not for our own stuff, you know, not for our own company, not for our own work, not for our own livelihood. Why not? What happens? What happened? And so those things I was able to kind of look at. I was able to kind of look at and go, oh, wait, we got to do something different here. You know, especially
I've noticed that about myself, too. I've seen me do that. I've seen me be in a position where I've worked harder for other people than I work for myself.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think
that used to bother me is you would take on jobs that were well over a certain amount, and you would give it to them for like a yard sale price. You would help or assist or give your gift or your knowledge to someone, and they didn't even acknowledge. And I'm like, but it could be so much more. And I get wanting to help people, but there are people who can be helped, and because that's, you know, they say your gifts make room for you, you know. And I think that's where, because people are like, you need to, you know, like your CMOS should be like $10 a bottle. No, ma'am. Not for no 16
ounces. And, you know, I'm not glad you said that, because that's so interesting, Monica. We were meeting with one of our team members, and Morgan, we could say her name. Morgan was sharing with us. She says, you know, right, hey, chat, Morgan. She was sharing with me and Monica in our meeting when we were trying to put up a team together on what we're doing and our mission. Guys, when you know you need help and support, and you know, whether it's a business coach, life coach, your pastor, your minister, counselor, get the help.
Because I
tried that. Yeah, get the help. Believe me, especially attorneys and lawyers, because you could go about doing something, do it the wrong way, and you know, they lock people up, guys. When you break the law, they lock you up. So, I won't talk about that.
Even
right
if
now.
You don't know what you're doing, and you just have to keep the law.
You got to know what you're doing, right.
Exactly.
But
so you want to get the experienced people to help you, because what you could be doing, what may take you years to do, the experienced person has done it for years, and they know how to get you to do it in the next 5 minutes. And boom.
And to do it right and building so that you know that you're getting your value. And what I was going to share that Morgan had shared with us in our meeting and when we were putting the team together and all about wealth and value and knowing what you're worth and not underestimating your value. And then going for whatever that may mean for somebody, so someone, because it was impressed upon me to speak about it right now. Someone has the speaking ability. You know how to speak to people. You know how to talk to people, and you know how to bring things together. And you know, whoever that may be, get the support to doing it. We had a life coach, and she doesn't do anything outside of $25,000. And if people invite her to go speak somewhere, she could be speaking for 30 minutes, and she won't go unless she's getting her $25,000. I remember when I first met her. I don't know if you remember, Monica, when we were first doing the courses, and I said, she's lying. She didn't write paying no $25,000 to go talk nowhere.
Right.
And I found out that people do. Now, I'm not saying
they
I'm
do.
Ready for $25,000, but and would I like to believe that my value is that? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I was saying you better get ready.
Yeah. Well, look, hey, I receive that. You know, in my little church voice, I receive that, girl. I receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive it. So, yeah, listen, that is so true. So whoever that may be, there are resources out there to putting things like that together. And you just like, you know, for our people down in Chicago, when you didn't know, if you guys recall, when you didn't realize what you could do with real estate until we started doing that walk together, and the ones who aren't homeless anymore, they, just like that, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Yep. Never underestimate what God can do. I have to tell myself over and over again, I used to get mad at Monica. Remember, Monica, I get mad at her because Monica be so like, God got it. That's favor. And I used to get mad at her and think, oh, she just think everything just going to fall about the tree. She's just a spoiled brat. She just think that God just got it, going to jump down and just do it. But we balance each other out with it now, because I know that, yeah, favor is favor. That's one thing. But action and the initiative combined with the momentum means everything. We should never take God for granted or anyone for granted, but especially not God. We should never be taking him for granted. Confidence in him, yes. Faith in him, yes. But not for granted. You know, I want to talk about that and expound on that one day. But I do want to close with this, guys, that at any point that you don't know or you haven't believed, we have more than just a friend in God. Know it today. If you don't believe it for yourself, believe that I believe it for you. Believe that we believe it for you. Believe that Monica believes it for you. And there are so many other people that are praying for you that you don't even know, that are praying and interceding on your behalf all around this globe, all around this country, all around this world, because you are uniquely special to God. You are special because he created you and he put his name on you, and he knows more than what we would ever know. Yeah.
I also want to touch on one other thing that lately I've been coming up, I've been kind of struggling in this area, and that is following suggestion and certain directions. And I don't know if it's just me. I don't know if anybody else on the line has experienced that, but, like, you know, the most successful people are the people who are able to follow directions. Like, that's really an actual skill. Following directions is an art.
Suggestions,
is an art.
That's so important.
It is. It is really, really important if you're struggling with it.
Because it's outside of it. It's an act of, it is. You're right. Because it can be an act of, when you're getting that suggestion, if you don't even give the suggestion a chance, then how do you know?
Right.
If something
how
isn't
you know?
Working already, if it's not working, if everything else you've been doing is not working, then why not try the suggestion? Just try it. I found that out first in recovery, guys. And you guys know I talked to you about my sponsor I have in Fort Lauderdale. Corporate loves when I talk about Miss Belinda all the time. And one of the things that she always did, she just never played with us. She never toyed around with it. She was never fake, never phony. She just called it like she saw it. And she, it was either you were going to take the suggestion or you was not. And if you didn't take that suggestion, she was calling you on the phone. So listen, if you don't have that kind of person in your life, get that person in your life that's going to cause you to be accountable. It will save your life. That woman saved my life. Mm-hmm. It will save your life. You hear me, corporate? Mm-hmm. I know, corporate. Get in to get somebody like that in your life.
Yeah.
All
shout
you,
out
all
to
you folks that are. Yes, yes, you know, just do it. We got New York on the line, Chicago still on. You guys already know it. Listen, we're going to wrap up. We're going to close this out. You know, thank you for rocking with us and being with us and showing up every Saturday so far and supporting us in it. Thank you for even tapping into the Zoom meetings when you do. And this is going to get better. We're going to be, you know, we're going to stay not just committed and organized about showing up on time, but we don't want to do anything scripted. We want to have natural, open conversations. We want to bring some music and some joy. We are going to be coming to you Monday morning on Monday Morning News with Monday Money. And we're going to have some days of dedication to Money Mondays, and, you know, just sharing some resources, good ideas, passive streams of income, things that I've tried, and some of those things I failed at. So we're just going to close out and just say God bless you and close out with some Aretha Franklin, "You Got a Friend in Jesus," and we love you. All right, peace out, and thank you for joining us here on Big Girl Talk. All right.
Indeed. Peace out.
Yes. Peace out.
And Jesus said, call my name, because I'll be there.
When you're down in trouble, you need some love. Ain't nothing, ain't nothing going right close your eyes.
Thank you.